And when Father Dan asked me to share, I prayed and the Lord brought into my heart the prayer. It's a well-known world prayer, the prayer of Jabez in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. And verses 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the Lord of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. If I would introduce our message and give it a title, I would want to say that Jabez wanted to move out, moving out of your comfort zone. And everybody in this life has a comfort zone. There is a certain temperature at which we feel the most comfortable. There's a way of life in which we feel that we are at ease. There is a crowd of people with whom we feel most comfortable. When we are around the wrong crowd, in the wrong situation, in the wrong place, and doing the wrong things, we can feel very uncomfortable and out of ease. When we find ourselves outside our comfort zone, we can become a little nervous. And I honestly, there is nothing wrong with that. It is just proves that we are interested in being comfortable. And that is something we humans want. We want always to be comfortable. However, there is a sense when comfort can become a thing of concern. It is easy to reach a place as individuals when we become satisfied with the status quo. We also structure our lives to the point that we can almost predict what will happen from one day to the next. For many, this kind of stability provides a deep sense of security and well-being. And there is nothing wrong with having security and feeling that you are okay. It is when the same type of comfortable living invades our spiritual life that will cause trouble. There is nothing wrong with being satisfied with your job. That's the best thing you can be, to be satisfied with your job. But when you become satisfied with your service to the Lord, we always find ourselves into problems. Sometimes when we have our homes, and I don't mean this is long, it is very good to be comfortable in our homes. It's also good and okay to be comfortable with our automobile or our financial standing. But when we become complacent about our prayer life and satisfied with our spiritual progress, that is the time I feel on my side that I need to move out of my comfort zone spiritually. We should never reach a place as a child of God where we are totally satisfied with our walk and our witness to the lost and to the dying world. We should always have that zeal to get further into our spiritual standing with the Lord, and also to service to the Lord, to service to others. If any Christian had ever reached to a place where we would be satisfied with his spiritual life or progress, would be the Apostle Paul. Yet, in the book of Philippians chapter 3, 12 to 14, he remained unsatisfied and always reached for more or yearned for more. Not only do many individuals live in a spiritual comfort zone, but so do many churches. When the attendance is up and offerings are good, we may be tempted to back off and take it easy. We may not pray for the church as we should. We may not invite others to join us as we should. We may not be as active as we should. It is so easy to become satisfied with the way things are. But the sad truth is this: when a church and a church family becomes complacent, that church begins to die. It may take years before the final death knell is sounded, but the church begins to die when she becomes satisfied with her spiritual level and her growth. A church is in serious trouble when it becomes satisfied and complacent in its comfort zone. And that is why we also have a church have felt this being our comfort zone, we need to come out and go out there. As we are moving out of this comfort zone, let us know that we have been called, each one of us. The responsibility does not fall on Father Dan or Debbie alone or me and or we. It is the duty of every one of us in this church, whatever service we do into it. We have been called now as we move out of our comfort zone where we have been for the last number of years to go out, not to compete with the other churches, but to go out and reach out into a dying world. I think it will be a great service unto the Lord if we get that zeal, that as we move out of our comfort zone now here and we go out there, the Lord will plant in us a zeal for a dying world. Because many churches, and I'm not being judgmental here, we also might be part of that, have now been so complacent that they become satisfied. Theirs is wanting to grow, not only in numbers, but also in large buildings. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we are going out of our comfort zone, so that we can reach out into a dying world. And as I always stand and say, we thank God that our congregation, which is small, and others who listen us out to us there in the air, we have never been satisfied or complacent with where we are. We are still fighting on. We are still continuing, hanging in there, and knowing that He who called us with a purpose. When others quit, we feel we are not going to be quitters. We are going to be more than conquerors, because that is what the Bible is assuring us. So as we move out of our comfort zone, I think the answer can be found in the verse that we have read today. In his prayer, Jabez, we can see some facts that can help us to move out of our comfort zone, both as individuals and a church. There are three noteworthy things which are said of this man in this verse. They reveal a lot about his character and about his desire to rise above the ordinary in his walk with the Lord. One, in his life, 1 Chronicles 1:1-8. It is the genealogy of the nation of Israel. For the most part, it is a collection of bigots, broken only by a few insights into the lives of few of the more notable people, such as David. When we come to Jabez, we are confronted with a man whose life is like an oasis in a dry, barren desert. Most of the others simply state that they begot sons and daughters and that they died. It appears that Jabez was not content to be like everyone else. It turns out that Jabez was a giant among pygmies. Like Cream, the life of Jabez rose to the top. He was a little somebody in a sea of nobodies. There are very few among us humans who rise above the crowd. There are very few people who leave a mark on the world. Most of us are content to live like everyone else around us. But it is said that to think that your life and mine might be condemned to a few bigots and then die, would it be a tragedy for your life to come down to no more than a few lines that you just lived and died? In the history of this country, the great nation that we are living in today, there are so many presidents who have been presidents of the United States. I think 44 of them, including the one who is there now. But only a handful of them, all these years, are remembered because they left a mark. People like Abraham Lincoln, you hear their names being repeated. John Truman, you hear their names being repeated. And a number of them. But there are others. They were still the president of this great nation. But because there is nothing of great importance that happened during their time, they are still there in the books, but they cannot be remembered because there are not so many things that they did. Those who have departed, some names even in the Bible, are mentioned often, while others never come up. It is because some left a great mark and cut a deeper path as they moved through the world, even in the churches. We read about people like John Wesley, Mother Teresa, who just died the other day, an ordinary woman. But she touched so many, many lives. And so many others, people who just lived, came out of the ordinary and left a mark. And they are remembered. And this is the prayer that this man had. He was a unique man. And we should never be satisfied to be like everyone else. God has called each one of us and have gifted each one of us in wonderful ways. In the book of 1 Corinthians 12:7 to 28, He has given us the means whereby we can stand out from the crowd and be different for His glory. Some people are different just for the sake of being different. That is not what I'm talking about. Some folks thrive on being weird. What I'm saying is that we need to be different because the Lord has done a great work in our hearts and lives. The question is, 10 years after each of us die, because one day we will die, 10 years after we die, will people remember our lives and the contribution we made to the kingdom of God? That can happen, but only if we are determined that we will be different from the rest of the world. There was a problem in the life of this man we have read about. His mother had named him Jabez, and the name literally means the son of my sorrow, pain, affliction, because his mother anticipated that he would cause a great pain, and maybe when she was giving birth to him, she went through a lot of pain. I think women can agree with me when they are getting us into this world, they go through a lot of pain. Many people would not have wanted to get a name like that. They would want to have a name that would give them a better start, but this name of Jabez, he was doomed from the start. He would do everything in his power to see that he really would not live to that name, because that was his prayer. Yeah? Pain, sorrow, son of my sorrow. Yeah? So, we have the power, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to break the chains just as this man did. Hmm? Just because everyone thinks we will fail does not mean that we have to. Just because we were taught bad things growing up, it doesn't mean that we have to live that way. Just because our family was a certain way, we were raised in a certain manner, or we have a certain reputation does not mean that we have to remain that way, because this man we have led refused. He refused. He prayed. He said a prayer. At least extend my boundary. Bless me, Lord. Don't let me stay with this one. And you remember, this prayer sometimes, it becomes very helpful to people when we are praying that for the Lord, extend our tents. Just give us the courage to endure the challenges of this life. God is able to transform us into what He wants us to be. Jacob, you remember, the man called Jacob, he has a very unique name. Jacob, just like Jabez, when he was born, Jacob was named, his name meant a trickster, a supplanter, and or a heel grabber. But you know, God, He transformed His life and changed His name to Israel, which means a prince with God. We can be able to rise above our past and the circumstances of our life. Some of you, just as I have mentioned about the presidents of this country who have lived there, some of you who have been interested in sports can remember or have really come across, and those who have not heard this story can recall a story about the Olympics, which had an athlete in the 60s. Some of you may have heard about Wilma Rudolph. She was a successful Olympic athlete in the 1960s. But most do not know, or if you have never heard her story, this is her story. She was born the 16th of 18 children in a poor black family in the middle of Tennessee. When she was born, she weighed 4 pounds and 1 ounce. At the age of 4, she contracted polio and lost the use of her left leg. The battle with polio left her weakened, and she immediately developed chronic pneumonia and scarlet fever. Even though she managed to survive, those deadly diseases, she spent the bulk of her childhood as a cripple. It was only through years of therapy which her mother carried her on one day of a week and determination that Wilma was able to regain the use of her left leg. She went on to play basketball, hitting a single session record for most points scored, 803 in 25 games. In 1960, Wilma Rudolph represented the United States in the Olympics, which were held in Rome, Italy, and she won gold medals in all three of the events in which she competed. In both the 100-meter dash and the 200-meter dash, she finished at least 3 yards in front of her closest competitor. She set the world record in the 100-meter and set a new Olympic record in the 200. And in the 400-meter relay, she brought her team from behind to win with gold. In the very least, we can say that Wilma Rudolph rose above her circumstances for her destiny to grasp the brass ring and claim a better life. Nation of this child who was born with polio and the determination of her mother to take her to therapy and having good determination to see her daughter win was able to represent again this great nation, and her name is in the book of records of those people who have broken the Olympics. Yeah, and that was an achievement. Their performances in our lives, just as the Bible has described this man, Jabez, his performance, the Bible says, he was more honorable than his brethren. This simply means that he was worthy of more honor than the rest of his family. He just looked at how they were living and decided that he would do better. Jabez was not remembered as a great leader, prophet, or preacher. He did not make his mark on the battlefields of life as a great leader of men. His name is remembered because he was a man of prayer. His name is remembered because he was a man of God in a godless day. When we realize that we do not have to do like everyone else, we need to understand, just as this man, that we can rise above the ordinary. We can rise above of who people see us as we are. We might be a small church. We are moving to another location that we are not sure of what it holds for us. But we have faith and we believe in God that by relocating to where we are going, not only are we going to increase in numbers, we are going to increase even in the activities of our church, because we also believe in God that that is not going to be our dwelling place. We are not going to go to a comfort zone. We are moving from this comfort zone to another one. Not to make that our comfort zone, but to let even the Lord see that we are not satisfied with the reach out that you have given us to a dying world. We are ready to even bath, not what other people see as a charismatic church in Charlotte, that has not even felt an impact like the churches that we are affiliated with, the big churches that are affiliated with the charismatic Episcopal Church in other towns. We are moving out by faith that we are believing God, that God has put us here, has brought us here from the different places that we came from to be affiliated with this church now, so that we can have an impact. Not only in our own families, not only in our own lives, but into a dying world there that needs a savior, that needs us, as we pray like this man, that God extend our boundaries. He will go with that. He will honor us. It doesn't matter where we have come from. We have might have come from far. We have might go through a lot of pain. But are we going to dwell on that? No. We want to move out and see what the Lord is going to do with us by faith. Because it is by faith even we are the far we have come. It is not by power, nor by might. So mine is to urge each one of us,
as we endeavor out next Sunday to go to Matthew's community, let's be excited for the Lord on what the Lord is going to do in that small town. Because I am believing God is sending us there with a purpose. I know Father Dan is excited just the way I am excited, because we all need to be excited. I don't mean that it's going to be easy. It's going to be tough. We have to come out with resources to support the ministry there, to support even paying the rent of that building. And we do not have a fat bank account that we are saying, this is what we will be drawing from. We are believing God that He is sending us there with a purpose. And how do you think, it's a question I would pose to you, how do you think down the line, the children that we have right now, when they will be coming, living in other states and seeing that we were the first families that led the Lord to come together so that we can build a loving church family, a church with an extraordinary instinct of touching, a contagious church that is touching people with a contagious love of Jesus Christ. That in this church, when I go, I feel the presence of God. We have moved out of the ordinary, that ours is to come and meet our Savior every time we meet, where we can teach others the love of Jesus Christ, where we will embrace some of the hard things that many churches have not yet embraced in this great nation of America, where we will be different, because our difference will be, we are more loving, more loving than any other church land. And I become so excited sometimes when I read history of some churches. There is this man who many theologians in America argue with him, I don't know, but I like the way that it is talked about of his church in the city that he is. People, when they go to the supermarket and the cashiers are checking you out, they're in their faces, people just tell her, I think you belong to Lakewood Church, because they have that contagious smile in that city of, is it Houston? The church of where Father Dan talks about John Austin and his father, they were their missionaries, they were sending them out to Guatemala as their missionaries. The Joel Austin, his father, he who inherited the church from his father. So many people in his church, when they go out in the community that they are in, I don't agree with everything that he teaches, but in the contagious love that these people of the church have, even in the supermarkets, they can always be identified that you come from Lakewood Church, because they have been able to teach their people how to touch other people's lives. So we don't know what the future holds for us, but by faith, after praying, because if we say that we have been praying for a while for the Lord to lead us out of here and take us a place, we have prayed for a while. It's not 1 or 2, 3 years, it's almost 4 years that we've been praying, Lord, we need you to lead us out. And if you, this is not yet the time, but now the time is coming. I just pray that we will be like Jabez. We will ask for the best, because he prayed for the best. Jabez wanted the fullness of God's blessings to be upon his life. He didn't say, just as you blessed me yesterday, bless me today. He just wanted more of the Lord. Not material blessings as many would think, but he wanted more of his prayer life with the Lord, because he was feeling that I need more of the Lord. And I believe that is, as a people, that is what we need, as families, that is what we need, because it is prayer that can be able to sustain us. Every stage of our lives, even in our families, we are faced with challenges. But when these challenges come, we know there is somewhere we can be able to take these challenges. And this is nowhere else except at the feet of Jesus, by prayer, just as this man, praying that God, give us more of what you need. Even sometimes you feel we are going through tough times as families, and as our children grow, every stage Every stage has its own goods and longs, you know. But when we stick with the Lord, He will give us the strength to endure, the strength to be able to face the challenges. So when we are asking for God's blessing, let us continue yearning for more. And especially tell the Lord, just the way that we have been praying, Lord, just give us the fullness of You. Let us experience You at the difficult times. Help us not to dwell on that things that bring us down. Because we are fighting against powers and principalities. We are fighting against the devil who do not want us to win. He wants us to be defeated on the way. But there is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. But we can have this hope if we let the presence of the Lord indwell in us at all times. When storms come, we can be able to know we have enough prayers in stock, and we have a church family that is praying for us. We have a pastor who is praying for us. We have other families whom the Lord has brought together in our lives, who have concerns on our walk with the Lord, who have concerns when we are facing challenges, who have concerns when storms are in our lives. And by this, we will grow as a family, we will grow as a church, we will grow as individuals. And just as we said in the beginning, who knows, we might leave a mark in this life, even when we are out of this world. So may our good Lord bless each one of us. I know God's hands will be upon you.
This is for you who may be listening on the radio. We have gotten lots of positive feedback from our program and know that we have lots of regular listeners all around the Charlotte area. If you listen to this radio program and enjoy it, you need to come visit with us some Sunday morning. We're meeting now at the Matthews Community Center in historic downtown Matthews, North Carolina at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings for Sunday worship and Eucharist. And the Holy Spirit shows up and miracles happen. You owe it to yourself to at least get a live dose of what happens on this radio program. Look us up on the website, www.cecmessiah.org, www.cecmessiah.org. There you can find directions, time of worship, learn more about us, and you can read about some of the miracles that have been happening. We got a good thing going here, and you never know, you might should be part of this. Come check us out.